This is Cityscape. I'm Steve Potter, and later, filmmakers Paul Lovelace and Jessica Wolfson will join us. Their new film, Radio Unnameable, documents the career of legendary radio personality Bob Foss, a pioneer in what's called freeform radio. But first, a new exhibit at the Sheldon Concert Hall and Art Galleries opens this evening, celebrating the building's 100th anniversary. And next Thursday, the anniversary is acknowledged with a celebration concert featuring a commissioned work by pianist-composer Peter Martin that will be performed by none other than Christine Brewer, Branford Marsalis, Christian McBride, Ulysses Owens, and David Halen. Peter Martin, welcome to Cityscape.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Can I say wow?
Yeah, me too. Wow.
That's pretty incredible.
I'm so honored and excited to have these great artists coming in to play this piece that I've composed, that I spent a lot of time on, you know, thinking about how it was going to sound and redoing certain parts. Very unusual for us as jazz musicians. We're so used to playing our solos each night, but I've really crafted this piece, and I'm very excited to hear how it's going to come together.
Wow.
I'll just have to remember to play my part.
I don't fear that at all. The Sheldon Concert Hall building was built in October of 1912. It's been called the Carnegie Hall of St. Louis, and those in the know often use the term perfect acoustics. In fact, Della Reese said that to me when she was here recently. So as a performer, as a St. Louis native, what does that building mean to you?
Well, it's a lot of things to me. It's a lot of great musical memories that have occurred there that I've been a part of, that I've heard from the audience from when I was a child. Things that I draw on when I play there are different little musical things that have happened that I don't even always remember until I'm in the middle of a performance. And then I'll remember, oh, I remember this certain thing happened and I played this chord and it sounded like this. I've probably played more in that room, performed more in that room than anywhere else. Anywhere that I've toured or played. There's one club in New Orleans called Snug Harbor. I might have played a little bit more during my years there. But it's just such a wonderful, resonant room. There's really nothing that gets in the way from the artist to the audience. There's no barriers. There's nothing artificial. There's nothing changing the sound. It certainly improves the sounds of the instruments, but you just feel this direct connection with the audience. It's truly a magical and special place.
How many times a year do you play there? Because it does seem to me, just observing, I've always sort of considered it your home base. So.
Yeah, I it's a great home base to have, and it's certainly a pleasure that I've become closely associated with it, and I love playing in there, and it's a very creative space. To me, it always feels like a big jazz club. You know, when chamber music groups come in, I think they feel like it's a perfect space for that. Spoken word works well, a lot of different things, but my connection with it is always feels like a jazz club because the audience is right there. They can bring drinks in with them. When you're talking to the audience through your music or just speaking at the mic or whatever, you feel that intimacy, even though it's 700 seats.
Yeah, it's a very intimate atmosphere. And one of the things I've always liked best about it, how about backstage? Have you ever seen a neater backstage?
Oh, it's great. It's funny because that I guess they call it the green room, the room right behind the stage. There's a fireplace there. And in the winter, they get the fire going.
Big windows.
Yeah, the big windows and upstairs, there's actually official dressing rooms, and I think only maybe once or twice that I've played there have I ever used the dressing room, because I just use the green room. I love that, people coming in and out, other musicians and
guests. That backstage area seems like a living room, doesn't it?
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it my living room, I decided. Come to my living room.
I'm sorry, I've had my feet on your table a time or two. I've had the privilege of being on stage at the Sheldon a number of times over the years, and every time I do it, without exception, beforehand, I always think about some of these incredible singers, musicians, speakers, and others that have stood on that very stage. It always goes through my head.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's a pretty amazing thing, and just the way that it's set up there, they've really – well, I actually wasn't there in 1912, but it seems like they've kept everything the same. It's got that feeling. I mean, they've kept it up beautifully. In fact, they did a lot of renovations over the summer. I was sort of privy to some things. I was one of the only humans inside that building this summer. I was writing a lot of this piece and in and out. There's not a lot going on there in the summer, but they did a lot of work and painting, which is a big job in a room that's shaped like that. But they've kept that same character since the first time I went in there, which was in the early 80s. And I have the feeling it's been like that for a long time. So you kind of feel the spirits of all the great artistry and speakers and history there. It's very special.
Well, you grew up in St. Louis. So do you remember specifically your first time there? Do you?
You know, the very first time I think I was being drugged to some chamber music with my parents, which would have been like, I don't know, 83 or something like that. I remember hearing a string quartet in there. And then I heard Wynton Marsalis play in around 84. And he was playing with his brother on saxophone, Branford Marsalis, and in kind of in his first great quintet. And I was just blown away. That was sort of when I was first getting into jazz. And a bassist named Charnette Moffett was playing with Wynton. And I got to meet Wynton afterwards. And, you know, that was my first time in the backstage area and getting to see that. And so I've heard a lot of great music there over the years. I've probably played way more than I've heard. But every time I get the chance to sit, and I've got my favorite spot, I'm not going to tell anyone so they don't steal my seat. My favorite little place I like to sit there to enjoy music, it's always a great evening.
Huh. Isn't it funny when little Peter Martin was there, whatever year it was, and you saw Branford Marsalis, who would think that you'd be on stage with him?
Right.
At the very same place.
Well, it was good because that night I actually asked him. I said, look, in 27 years, are you available?
Are you open? The Sheldon, you know, I know you're not the building's historian, but the Sheldon has seen different – has been used for different purposes over the years. Originally, it was home to the Ethical Society. I think it was home to a couple churches at times. What do you know about the history?
Well, you know, I've seen the list of different people that have played there and spoken there. I do know, you know, the Ethical Society – I guess it was Walter Sheldon was the founder of the Ethical Society. And then it was moved, you know, out into Ladue, Clayton in the I guess it was mid-60s when they built that impressive building out there. And so, you know, that's when the transformation of the building sort of started and there was still some connection with the Ethical Society. But, I mean, it's always been a space, I think, that is flexible in a lot of different ways. And they've always kept it. I know that they had music from the very beginning. And, in fact, I got a chance to see the original program from October 1912 that they still have over there. They kind of unearthed it. You know, so that really got me thinking about, wow, we are doing this 100 years later. You know, we're going to be doing this program in celebrating the 100 year of this building. And it's a really special thing.
We're talking with pianist composer Peter Martin about the 100th anniversary concert, which will be held at the Sheldon on October the 11th, which will be next Thursday. Well, how were you approached and when about being involved in this project?
Well, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, Paul Reuter, who's the executive director of the Sheldon, asked me if I would be interested in writing a piece to commemorate this 100th anniversary. And it was kind of open-ended. It was, you know, would you be interested? I said, of course, I'd love to do that. And the next was, well, what would you have in mind, you know? And so I said, well, let me think about it. And so I went back that night and thought about it and called him the next day. I said, let me come in and tell you what I'm thinking. And I, you know, had this idea of having two quartets, one string quartet, one jazz quartet, as being sort of the foundation for this piece. And it's sort of an idea I had for a while, something I'd always wanted to do. I said, well, this will be a good chance to do it. And then I started thinking about different artists that I wanted to have involved. And around that time, I was working with Christine Brewer, actually just performing with her a couple of pieces for some different concerts. And so her voice was really resonant in my consciousness at that time. I said, well, it'd be great to have her on a movement. And then I was thinking, wow, Branford Marsalis, I've worked with him a little bit, and I've always loved his playing. I love the acoustics of the Sheldon. And I started thinking about what I would write. I said, he'd be great for this. So I sort of came up with, you know, my wish list of artists, my wish list of instrumentation with the string quartet, and presented it to Paul, and he basically, you know, that next day, and he basically said, okay, great, let's do it. I said, wow, I thought we were going to, you know, negotiate down, you know, you can have less players or whatever. He just said, that sounds good. So that was really how it started. And, you know, it was still so far off. I thought, okay, well, this will be great. It wasn't until, you know, months later when I really got started working, I said, wow, I got to actually write this piece.
Well, did you decide there was a story you needed to tell? Or?
Yeah, you know, I thought about that a lot. My original idea was that it was going to be very much focused thematically on the Sheldon and maybe even St. Louis. And as I got into writing and going through different ideas I had for it, I realized I wanted it to be a little bit bigger than that. I said, you know, this is commemorating the Sheldon, but all the great artistry that's occurred there, I really felt that it was fitting to have a piece that was not specific, an actual musical connection with every movement. So there's one movement, though, the second movement, which kind of evolved into what I ended up calling the Sheldon Blues. And I'm really glad I was able to fit this in the way that I'd hoped, because that's a real direct, you know, homage to the Sheldon. And I think that's going to be a real fun part of the piece. I mean, the piece is like 45 minutes long, depending on how long people take solos, depending on how long I take solos, you know. And there's some flexibility in there. So there's a lot, you know, we hit a lot of different styles. I actually wrote, the piece is six movements. I wrote about 10 movements and then had to make some decisions about, you know, which fit together the best and that kind of a thing. But, you know, I certainly had most of the music was written on stage at the Sheldon, actually. I had great access all through the beginning of the summer. I would just come in and practice.
You wrote most of it there?
Most of it's written there, yeah. Some of it was written on airplanes. That was the other big location for me. I wrote a little bit at Forest Park. And I wrote a little bit at my house, but most of it was written on stage at the Sheldon.
Wow, that's so appropriate.
Yeah.
You call the piece This Present Past.
Right. So that is taken from a poem by Howard Nemiroff. And the third movement of the piece is the This Present Past movement, and that features Christine Brewer. And I used the poem that he wrote, Howard Nemiroff, for the foundation of the lyrics of this movement. So we got permission from the Nemiroff estate to use this, and I've set those words to song to Christine's amazing voice, soprano, operatic soprano. And so that kind of became – that was the first movement that I had completed. And we had a great time because Christine came in while I was writing it. She came in this summer and we were on stage at the Sheldon together and she's trying my different ideas out. I'm nervous, you know, like shaking as I hand her the page, you know, ma'am, can you please sing this, you know? And, you know, she went through it and really helped me a lot, kind of realize what my vision was and was a real partner in doing that. So that movement was completed first, and I really had all these different ideas, but I built them around that movement, and that's why it's called This Present Past.
And how about the other artists that will be performing your piece?
Well, Branford Marsalis is going to be playing soprano and tenor saxophone. I mean, you know, he's just a force on the saxophone and an amazing musician, amazing improviser, the kind of guy you can just write anything for. So that's going to be just, you know, extraordinary. Christian McBride is on bass, who's somebody that I've worked with probably more than any other bass player over the years. Is probably the foremost jazz acoustic bass player in the world right now of our generation. And then I have Ulysses Owens Jr. on drums, who is just my favorite of all the young drummers. And I've used him in the Sheldon a couple times, and he knows how to play the room just wonderfully. You know, it can be a difficult room for drums because the acoustics are so good, and he just got it from the very first time he played in there. So mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear him, you know, playing this piece there. And then we have a great string quartet of amazing musicians from the St. Louis Symphony that was put together by David Halen. We talked about this sort of from the beginning, and he was on board from the beginning. And so that's, you know, a real great kind of balance that I have with the jazz quartet and the string quartet. Christine, of course.
Yeah, how are rehearsals going?
Oh, they're going great. We actually just had a rehearsal with the string quartet a few minutes ago, and they sound great, you know. I mean, they really get it. It's a little bit different than what the things that they normally do, but I think that they understand my musical vision for this piece. They just get it.
Well, in addition to your work, what else is on the program?
So the string quartet is going to play a piece. I believe it's Tchaikovsky on their own. And then we have Christine's going to do a piece with the jazz trio. I think we're going to do a Harold Arlen song. Although it's great because I didn't realize this until I started working with her. She's almost like a jazz singer. She's like, oh, there's some different songs. We can try them out at Soundcheck. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's the way we usually do it, you know. So we're going to try a few things at the rehearsals with her. We're going to do something, and this will all be in the first half. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful piece that Paul Reuter has written that really, you know, sort of brings the history of the building together and uses the words of Sheldon himself that are inscribed in the Green Room. He set that to words. Christine will be singing that along with the St. Louis Children's Choir at the beginning of the program. So, and I think I'll be playing on that as well. I'm just going to be there at the piano. I said, whatever you need me for, I'm here tonight. So I'll be doing that. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some words spoken, of course, about the building and the history. And then the second half will be this present past.
Well, the Sheldon is presenting its 100th anniversary celebration concert featuring our guest today, Peter Martin, along with Christine Brewer, Branford Marsalis, Christian McBride, Ulysses Owens, David Halen, and members of the St. Louis Symphony. It's all next Thursday, October 11th, 8 p.m., in the perfect acoustics of the Sheldon Concert Hall. If you'd like more information about tickets and more details, please go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and you can find out more information. Any final thoughts? This has got to be a big deal for you. I mean, you do a lot of big deals all the time, but this in particular, Peter.
It really has been, and my hope is that this piece and at the end of the concert will really push everybody forwards in the building that's there and all the lovers of art and music in St. Louis that have, you know, experienced the Sheldon and been there. That will push us into the next 100 years in an appropriate way. And I'm glad I didn't totally think about my responsibility with that fully. I mean, I was working on the piece, but, you know, the realization of that as I was finishing, I said, okay, this is important. We're going to the next 100 years. So I hope everyone enjoys it and that it's a fitting segue.
Well, congratulations to you and to everyone involved with the Sheldon. And Peter Martin, thanks. It's great seeing you again.
Good to see you, Steve.
Next on Cityscape, Radio Unnameable. The career of Bob Fosse. This is St. Louis Public Radio.